What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a special edition of the Crypto 101 podcast. It is another rendition of what I deemed meme coin mania. We've got Brian and Joe here, our crypto mavericks, you know, home of the momentum moneymakers. When stuff is going on in the so-called trenches, we like to bring them on so they can break it down. And there's no better time to do that. Over the last 2 weeks, I think we've seen, at least I could count off the top of my head, two top tier meme coin trench warfare type things going on that we need to break down today. Number one being Jailstool, number two being Libra. So that's what we're going to be doing here today. We're going to give you guys the inside details of everything that went down, and hopefully give you some clarity, whether you know you're somebody that knows about everything that went down and looking for some of the inside details, or maybe you know more general to the space and not in the trenches or on X every day and are looking for some clarity around the situation that went down with these two things. We're here to do it today. So Brian and Joe, welcome. Brian, how are you doing? I know you're in the trenches as Joe is as well, but you know, any nicks, any wounds, what's up with you?
Yeah, man. I mean, some of my bags bled the wrong way. Unfortunately, it's I had a position in Jailstool. I know we're gonna talk a little bit about it, and I'm a little down on my buys. I thankfully was on an airplane and missed the Libra Argentina president rug, so that's a saving grace. I would have probably aped into that and didn't necessarily get too hurt there. But overall, the meme coin market, the AI market, just the macro market, Solana, it was $200 on the 14th of February, is now down in the 160s. So everyone's bags are bleeding a little bit now. We'll get a little bit deeper into it, but I'm as optimistic as ever. Maybe it's blind optimism, but I think there's we needed a little bit of a cleanse here, a little bit of a flush out. Guess wading through what's happening, and I'm bullish on some sectors and a little bit more bearish on some others, and we'll dive a little bit deeper, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, you guys clearly have your own way of going about these markets, and you have your strategies, and it's worked plenty of times before. So just because maybe like there's a curveball in the Jailstool and you know the Libra thing, it's hard to really see that coming as well, like we'll talk about, but that doesn't mean you desert, you know, your fundamental approach to how you trade these markets. But Joe, how are you doing?
Yeah, I got some collateral damage, although I wasn't in Jailstool or, you know, the Argentinian one. Sol got hit and then I got dragged down with it. I was a little bit looking on the side here. Side note, Unicorn Fart Dust is interviewing Luca Netz from Pudgy Penguins. It's a weird thing happening right now. Just when you think nothing's happening, there's always something happening. And I guess that's the tale of the last 2 weeks. I'm like, nothing's going to happen, Brian. But Jailstool come out, crime is legal, and then Argentinian president coin came out, and we'll be happy to dive into the details.
Yeah, not the first president to launch a coin, as we all know, but yeah, let's dive into it. So we're going to start off with Jailstool because Dave Portnoy, as we know, kind of led the charge on that one and then was also kind of involved in the Libra one. So we'll tee that one up second. But timeline-wise, you know, Dave's been hinting. He's dipped in. He's dipped out of, you know, crypto world, famous for, you know, buying Bitcoin at the wrong time. I think he's now a Bitcoin holder, a big XRP holder as well. And he is DDTG Growable, has always been around, you know, the finance and trading stuff. So he's hinted at launching his own meme coin. And he finally learned how to use a Phantom wallet and dive into the Solana ecosystem and start trading some of these meme coins. And I think he got really excited when he figured out how to do it. And, you know, obviously a tweet of his launched a couple ones. Super Bowl week. The guy basically took over Super Bowl week, like we covered a couple weeks back on the rundown. So I think he started getting the heat of, like, you know, kind of basically dumping on people, right? And so then he found this Jailstool one. So it wasn't something that he created. He wasn't the dev. He wasn't involved. It just got sent to his wallet. And he thought it was funny because it was called Jailstool and it was a picture of him behind bars. And so he decided that he was going to back this project, throw some money in, and tweet about it. And so to set the stage for you guys, he basically said, hey, I'm buying this. I'm not going to sell it until it hits $1 billion market cap. And off to the races we went on Jailstool. So that's kind of teeing it up for you. You know, Joe, I'll fire it to you to kind of lead us into the next phase. And then I want to hear you guys, you know, from your perspective, you know, how did you look at this? How did you break it down? And then kind of give us the storyline from there. Guys, it's been a massive year in crypto with big price movements, headlines everywhere, and major institutions with even countries getting involved. That's why you're here listening to this podcast right now. And if you've been curious but feel like you've missed the boat, don't worry. There's still time, like we talk about on these episodes every week. With only 21 million Bitcoin ever to exist, it's designed to be scarce. And that scarcity can mean real staying power. And the team at CoinFlip Preferred believe stepping into crypto should be simple, secure, and on your terms. That's why they pair you with a dedicated crypto expert who guides you through every step from your very first transaction to more advanced solutions. Plus, CoinFlip is a registered money services business and does not custody funds, so you stay in control and protected. With nearly a decade of collective experience, CoinFlip Preferred's client managers know the space inside and out. If you are ready to explore the world of digital assets with confidence, visit coinflip.tech/crypto101 or use the promo code crypto101 for 50% off transaction fees. Valid one per customer until May 30th, 2025.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I saw on the timeline right away a lot of the trench warriors, the Web3 degens, take the opposite. I don't know if they were shorting Jailstool, but they're like, we can't wait for this guy to experience, you know, Web3 full on in terms of like token launching and memes and how they operate and how an individual like himself is kind of out of his arena, so to say. And it kind of played out exactly what they hoped, meaning like, you know, I mean, I can't go full in the depth. But really, he tried to pump the coin, didn't pump at all, right? And then everything he tried, all the mechanics that he tried to make it, you know, a billion dollar token, which, you know, there's very few of those. There's only like, what, 10 or 11 of them. This was back a few months ago. Now it's even harder to get to $1 billion market cap. So him just saying that alone is like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Like there's no way it's very, very hard to hit $1 billion market cap in the world of meme coins. I'll now stop there.
Well, Brian, I know that you were more in the trenches, I guess, early on. I know I was texting you basically right away. And so I guess it depends on how you look at it, right? Like, yes, when you compare it to a billion dollar market cap, he's not going to get there. However, this thing had some legs right off the get-go here. Probably, I'd say, because I do remember from the tweet to then he hosted a space later in the day. There was about like a 6-hour window where you could have caught the rocket up there for any. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian. What do you think? It was like from the time he tweeted it to the space, the 6-hour window could have been like a 10, 20x window you could have got in there. But what were you seeing on the front end of this where, you know, it was getting into the 100, you know, $200 million market cap range?
I hammered it. I really did. I hammered it. I still have most of my bags as well. I've wrote it down. Probably not the best trade I've ever made, but the thesis behind it, I felt pretty confident at the time because we were talking about Dave Portnoy, who was onboarding stoolies, retail customers that have never experienced crypto in their life. He's showing them how to buy it, how to sell it. He's been talking about crypto. There's obviously, within that circle, there's some degenerate behavior, and he was running it up. He was talking about it. We're talking about the Super Bowl week, one of the biggest media days ever, and this guy launches a coin. I'm like tweeting at him, wear Jailstool shirt to the Super Bowl, use it as incentives. He launches merch. He's like 100% of the profits are going to Jailstool. I did not think this was going to be like a long-term buy hold, but I might be on the opposite. Joe and I haven't even talked about, I guess, that in depth. I did think it was going to get to 500 million to a billion. I was like, I don't see how this is going to stop. It was just ripping. People were anxious for this because the weeks before that, we got kind of wrecked on just some macro news. We got wrecked on the DeepSeek news out of China, which was like nothing at the end of the day. And then secondly, Trump tariffs. And so that kind of hurt our bag. So we're all kind of grasping, looking for the next hot thing. And we see Dave Portnoy with 3.2 million followers on Twitter, who's host the Davey Day Trader, talking about this. And people definitely had an opportunity to get in and get out. I was not personally disciplined enough, and that's a learning lesson personally I'm going to take, because I am notorious for if I catch a 2 or 3X, I really pull my initial profits out. But I was euphoric. I was like, this thing is going to keep running. Just mention it a few more times, Dave. Unfortunately, he kind of got caught up in the trench warfare a little bit. Was attacking people on crypto Twitter, you know, calling them names. People started to rebel. He started to kind of... And the thing is, everything that Dave did, like people were calling, hey, you rug these other coins. I'm kind of on his side of where he was openly like, I'm going to buy Jail Stool, keep putting money into it. I'm not going to sell my tokens. As far as I know, as of today, he hasn't done. But then he was open. He's like, I'm going to buy these other shit coins and not sell them and sell them. And people were still aping into it. I mean, I didn't get into those coins because he was literally telling us in black and white what he was going to do. And I was like, please put the money into Jail Stool. So long story short, after the dust settled, I definitely realized I needed to be more disciplined there as a trader, a meme coin trader there. But I was euphoric. I thought this thing was going to run and keep on running. And I'm frankly kind of shocked it's sitting at the market cap it's at. I thought we would have been at least 50, 60 million still.
Yeah, I was kind of on the other side of you where I did the classic get in, get out early, you know, small trades, small profits, excited about it, you know, like a 2 or 3X. But like I was traveling. I was in Hawaii and I was like, I'm not paying attention to this all day. This is going to end up like taking my enjoyment out of my trip. And then I remember later in the afternoon, I saw where it got up to. I was like, oh, holy shit, this thing moved. But yeah, it goes both ways. And I think somebody like Dave, who's very volatile, and like I agree with you in the sense, like he's, you know, said what he's going to do, which is, you know, a lot more transparent than what we're going to talk about next with Libra. But it all ties in together because I think there's a couple characters that are in the same thing. So I guess the story of Jail Stool's probably not over yet. And Dave has even admitted like he's looking into launching his own token with utility or whatnot. So, you know, I think that's, correct me if I'm wrong, because you guys are the experts here. Isn't that something that you crave in the sense of if somebody like a celebrity is going to launch a token and it was somehow tied to, you know, Barstool or the success of Dave as an individual or the company, like with utility or special benefits, like that's the whole thing that gets people excited to get in, right? So he kind of tried it, I guess, initially with like the Jail Stool merch. I think people might want a little bit more if there's a true like Dave/Barstool token. But I think if there was anybody to really put in the work and try to see if it was possible, like I think Dave would be right up there as somebody who might try to launch something with true utility.
Yeah, that's kind of what I saw. I only peeked at it briefly during the weekend at a launch because, you know, we were busy with Super Bowl. And I'm on the other side of this, meaning I know Dave more so for his pizza reviews, more so than for Barstool. Mm-hmm. And we were, or at least people on my side, were waiting for him to launch a token. So this came out of like left field. Like he didn't have true ownership of it, right? And yeah, although he did try to be loud, loud doesn't work in Web3. The louder you are, the worse it gets. You actually... you don't say anything. That's kind of what ended the Trump coin, is when he said something, it was when something bad happened. And that's kind of what happened. We were all waiting for this amazing halftime Super Bowl announcement. But all it was people getting upset. And he's like, oh, basically he's buying Jail Stool. And that was his big announcement. That was like so dumb. So he didn't understand the pump mechanics, I guess, of the DGEN world. And that's why it kind of fell flat, in my opinion, as an outsider, like a huge Portnoy fan.
And I think my counter to that is I agree with everything you're saying, but like Dave's also a master of media. And so at the end of the day, he's actually winning. Whether he's winning or losing or the coin goes up or down, it's like he's actually winning. The guy took over Super Bowl week media with Jail Stool by the end of it, in my opinion. It was like, I mean, it was right up there from trending on Twitter to, you know, even people that really aren't in the crypto space talking about it. Obviously, the Barstool fan base talking about it. And it's like, yeah, I think he's interested in it and wants to partake in it, but he's a media mastermind, and he always has been. And so, you know, if you're in the crypto space just learning about Dave Portnoy, like, oh, isn't that the pizza guy? It's like, well, you know, he is the pizza guy, but he's also a media mastermind. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt of, you know, he's not native to the crypto space, but you got to understand where he's coming from too. So as long as he's being loud and yelling and trending on Twitter, he's winning. And he certainly, in my opinion, won the Super Bowl week with another masterclass of media. But yeah, I think, and Brian, if you could just close the cap on this one, and we'll move on to Libra, where Dave is still kind of involved with the Hayden character, but then kind of, you know, Dave got the backlash of Web3 crypto Twitter. And he started, you know, calling everybody crybabies, because at the end of the day, it's just, you know, one big game of musical chairs. And just because the music stopped and you didn't have a chair and you wish you did, and a chair being, you know, profits, that, you know, I think he's basically calling everybody out. And I don't think he's wrong. Again, yeah, maybe rug pulling and whatnot isn't the right way to do it. But at the end of the day, like, you're buying all these meme coins in hopes of making profit. And, like, you know, plenty of people can say, like, oh, I want the community of this, that, and the other thing. But then you probably shouldn't be buying Jailstool, and you definitely shouldn't be buying greed. And then if you want community and culture, you 100% shouldn't be buying greed too. So how did this whole thing end, Brian? Put a cap on it for us.
Yeah, well, just to jump on what you guys said, some things that made me more bullish about it is I was watching the Spaces of Dave's, and he was talking about launching his own Barstool token, but he was gonna airdrop it 1-to-1 on Jailstool people. So that made me not want to drop my Jailstool token as well, because Portnoy in Barstool is like exactly what I'm looking for. Somebody that has media attention, a master marketer, and has a captive audience that really follows him. So and there's so many ways that they could apply utility to this. And then he has this partnership at the end of the day with Kraken. And he wants to keep that partnership intact. He doesn't want to, I think, screw over his stoolie followers. And a lot of people that started to buy that token bought it on Kraken. And I was like, once it started going down after that, I was like, all right, he's talking about launching his own token. He probably wants to make all his people that bought it on Kraken whole again. So he's going to do everything in the best of his ability to get this coin back up to where it was. And like Joe said, being loud in the Web3 space doesn't always work out. I still don't hate the token right now. It's down, and it's down bad. But I'm just like kind of made a commitment to myself. I was like, well, you've run it yeah. This far, Brian. So you're gonna ride it for a little longer, because if Barstool does create a token and put some actual utility and airdrops at the Jailstool holders, I do think there could be a revival there. We've seen it in a lot of coins. Now, just overall, the market, this is, so yeah, you were right. Then he started launching like Greed and Greed 2, these tokens. Oh, this is something I want to get over, is whenever Joe said he didn't have ownership of Jailstool, I was actually bullish on that. Kind of just the organic way he took it over. He organically became the number one holder. When the dev sold and he's like, well, hell, I'm the number one holder. He's essentially the face of it now without anybody having more coins than him. And I became even more bullish. And I was need to rethink that process. But part of me is like, I don't think I missaw it. It just wasn't the best trade. And that happens. I mean, it just happens. I mean, and you're right, yeah, Tebow. Like,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We're trying to make money. We're just trying to make money. And, you know, you have to take the lumps as much as you do whenever you get big wins. And that was one of them. I still like the percentages.
You guys are momentum money makers, our crypto Navy SEALs, the crypto Mavericks. I've said it a million times. You know, you guys are in the trenches. And it is. It's a game of musical chairs. But with your research and diving into the industry and seeing where this stuff is going, it's like that old phrase, you know, you got to know where the puck's going. And so if you guys identify a room with a bunch of chairs open and you think the music's going to start playing, that's where you guys go. But you've done that before through, you know, your research and deep diving in the trenches. And then this thing just came out of nowhere. It was a tidal wave of excitement and yelling, like Joe said. And yeah, like, you know, then it's a different game. It's like, okay, like, are we hearing about this early? Are we late? What's the future of it? So I think it was a different kind of game. So I don't think anybody's wrong, whether you stayed away from it or Joe, and then our other people in Web3 just completely stayed away from it. And then it tanked, you know, 18 hours later and you say, haha, gotcha. Or, you know, if you're somebody that, you know, has Dave's notifications on like myself and you saw the tweet you know, at a penny, and I was like, oh, I'll just dive into this, whatever. And then it ended up working out. It's like there's two sides of the coin, pun intended. And I agree with you. I think the relationship with Kraken is really interesting because Dave always does right by his sponsors, especially the big ones. And to have a Kraken, like Davey Day Trader presented by Kraken, that's a big number. That's a big number to sign a check over to Dave. And he always, you know, I know he really does right by his employees. He does right by his, his investors. He does right by his sponsors. And, you know, I can say that as a former employee. I think, you know, people that listen to the show now under, you know, I've heard that a couple times, but if there's anybody new out there, you know, I spent years at Barstool, and I think he wants nothing more. There's a vendetta. Like, Dave is very vengeful. And the first time we did this crypto thing, I was involved. I helped produce the Safe Moon video. I'll never forget in the office the buzz around, like, which coin did Dave pick? We all got to get in. And then we found out it was Safe Moon, and nobody knew how to buy it. We had to have, like, this guy Quigs, a legend of the game, had, like, literally an office hour station at his desk showing people how to download the wallet and get it. I think it was Trust Wallet, maybe. I can't remember exactly which one. But, you know, he's doing, like, he's got a PowerPoint showing everybody how to download the wallet to buy Safe Moon. And as we all know, awful decision. Didn't work out. And so, but I think that Dave remembers that and is like, man, I want a winner. I want a winner. And so I think that the between that and the partnership with Kraken, I don't think the story's over quite yet. So we'll put a pin in for now, and you know we're going to revisit it when anything new comes up. But let's transition. Let's move to literally, you think that was a big thing over Super Bowl week, and you're like, oh, okay, whoo, this market will cool down. Nothing crazy will happen this week. Not the case. We have another nation state, Argentina, launching a Libra token with a lot of controversy around the setup. Of who set it up, who okayed it, who was helping launching it. There's this character named Hayden who also crossed paths with Dave involved. So we got a lot to unpack here. So I don't know where you guys want to start with this one. I wasn't in the weeds with this one as much as I think you guys were, where I was with Jailstool. So who do you think? Where are we starting with this Libra token?
I can share my screen and kind of give people a visual of what we're talking about. There he is. Go ahead, Brian.
Let me just say one thing before you dive into it, Joe. I think that the Libra token totally screwed us over with Jailstool, by the way, and everything in the market. I don't think we would be as down as bad on Jailstool. And we're going to get into this Libra story and how it bled the market. But I think this kind of was the cherry on top that exhausted people of just like, what the heck is going on? And then they just started to sell off Jailstool. And people sold off Jailstool to get into this Libra token because it was the new shiny toy. So we saw sell pressure on Jailstool, attention from Jailstool leave into this Libra token. And then we'll talk about what happened there. But this was just kind of like a perfect storm that really just kind of screwed up the market. And it wasn't just meme coins. It was like Solana and other parts of it. Joe, I'll let you get into it, but I just needed to say that before I forgot.
Yeah, it's nothing too crazy. I mean, people can follow along very simply. This is right here on the right-hand side. It's the president of Argentina, Javier Milei. Hopefully I said that correctly. And this is Hayden Davis. He's like a, you know, he just has a network of key opinion leaders within crypto, maybe known as a crypto, you know, insider. And he helped, you know, to launch an Argentinian meme coin. And the president okayed this on his X on his Twitter. And they call this guy like the Trump of Argentina. He has a hat called Make Argentina Great Again. Elon Musk has notably worn that a couple of times or one time. And everyone's just crucifying both Hayden Davis and, you know, the president of Argentina for launching what they believe is, well, now it is a scam coin. I wouldn't call it a scam coin. We don't know how much the president of Argentina knows, but here's what happened was that when he confirmed that this was an actual token that he supported, it rocketed to $4.5 billion. Well, now, it rocketed to
Let's clarify what confirming, because from what I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a retweet from his account, and then there was deletions. I don't think did he ever hold a press conference? Did he ever verbally say, was there videos of him, or was it just the retweet and the deletion? Let's make sure we clarify that for the people.
Yeah. He ran a Trump playbook, which is, you know, Trump did the same thing, which is, you know, a retweet and then a delete and then a reaffirmation afterwards. But basically a confirmation of sorts from him and, you know, saying that it's going to help the Argentina public. It's going to go toward resources for the economy. And, you know, the KOLs, the key opinion leaders, started, you know, pumping this to the moon. And what happened was that a lot of people, Argentina president supposedly did not know that, you know, insiders are in on this and pumping it to the moon. And eventually what happened was that all these people cashed out, you know, not as crazy as a Trump token, right? They cashed out $87 million, which is quite significant in terms of liquidity from a single token. With this guy alone, his company, just in terms of providing liquidity, was able to generate over $100 million of it. So basically, it just set a really bad taste in people's mouths because people thought this was a legit government-promoted token where it would help the economy. But nope, it was just basically another pump and dump from insiders. So, and that's kind of like the high level of what happened. I'll let Brian chime in here.
Yeah, it was complete BS, to be completely honest with you guys. I mean, I think everyone knew what was happening. Not the public, but there was a lot of insiders, a lot of KOLs. I mean, we're talking about Portnoy. Portnoy was paid to promote the token. And then actually, once he mentioned that he couldn't, I believe it was like 5 million Libra token, once he realized he couldn't announce on his Twitter that he received these tokens for free, he actually sent it back. So hats off to Dave there. I believe that's all true. And he was actually reimbursed for his personal losses on the coin. Not sure how I feel about that, but honestly, like, can't fault Dave for that, because if someone's willing to reimburse you for losses on a coin, who's going to say no? But a lot of the issues I had is that Hayden Davis admits that he was sniping the supply of Libra alongside a massive team allocation. They set this up. It was a rigged game. You're going to hear that a lot. I do not think all meme coins, all AI coins, all cryptos are rigged games. I do think there are more than we really want to admit to. And a lot, but that's kind of like what we try to do, is decipher, like, how many people's the developer's wallet hold? How many people are actually organically launching this? What's behind this? But this token overall was very difficult for anybody to ignore if they were on the timeline. Because when you see a token go from a few hundred million all the way up to 2 billion, it's tough not to full port into that, especially when the president of Argentina is in some indirect way endorsing it. If he did, if he didn't, I mean, I'm not even going to get into that. And then you have all these KOLs that were allocated funds or rumored to have allocated funds, and they're pumping it. So your favorite influencers out there are talking about it. And it was the talk of the town. And once Malay distanced himself from the token, it crashed to about $300 million. People got wrecked, put a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And it's kind of like, I think everybody in the trenches were like kind of looking around at each other like, can't believe this happened in this way again. It was very similar to what happened with Trump and then the Melania coin. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Melania token had a lot of the same mechanics as what happened here with Libra. And we saw what that did to the Trump coin. If Melania never launched, Trump was going to $100. If this, all this BS here with Libra didn't happen, with insider trading and sniping early, this would have probably been printing for multiple billions of dollars. Unfortunately, there were some just really shady actors here. And my personal opinion on this, I know a lot of people have been talking about regulation and more restrictions. I don't know. We kind of know what we're getting ourselves into. I don't know if, like, legally there's some fraud here. And I do think, you know, you can go after people that are committing fraud. But I don't want tighter restrictions. I mean, we know what we're doing here. You know, we're gambling. We're looking for 100Xs in some of these. And when we see runners, and I'm not asking for somebody to give me my money back when I lose, and I'm not paying anybody their money back if I win. It's kind of the game that we're playing right now. But it's a shame how it all happened. It was a cleanse overall, though, I think, in the space. We've seen a lot of coins get wrecked. There's a lot of decent buying opportunities. I think Joe and I were talking about this with our private community. This is the times like this is like when I'm at my best, when there's like major coins that bleed out and fundamentally nothing has changed. I start buying and buying, because I was like, you only need like a couple headlines for the whole narrative to change and some of these coins to pump back. But I don't know how I feel about a lot of these just like straight memes right now. I think everyone in our private community knows that I like lean pretty heavily into this AI world. I think there's going to be a rotation over from some of these meme coins into the AI crypto world, because not only do they have some meme ability to it, there's some really strong communities behind it, but they're doing some things that are like fundamentally like making the world of crypto a lot easier. But I do think some memes are going to survive as well, but it was overall just a cleanse of the sector, and I think we need to become a little bit more sophisticated as traders.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think let's tie the cap on the Libra thing, and we can kind of go bigger picture here. So I pulled a video for us. So this was Dave interviewing Hayden, and it was a pretty big grill session. So there's 2 minutes here of a little back and forth, and in my opinion, Hayden doesn't really come across all that trustworthy in how he acted in this. But let's take a look. It's about 2 minutes.
The question is what to do with money that's not mine. I'm never claiming it's my money. I'm not running off with the money. I have no desire to run off with the money.
Whose money is it? That's what I don't.
It's definitely not my. It's Argentina's. I don't know what association you give with that. I mean, the point was like, you know, Malay's team, or who I thought was Malay's team. I mean, again, you're talking
about, like, even at one point when we were talking, we were going back and forth, and we had a couple discussions about this during the course of like deciding to launch, where you're like, I think, and again, this is how I looked at it, and I actually said it to you, I'm like, I wasn't trying to make money with my coin short term, and I think you were telling me, like, I wanted the thing audited. I wanted all the money in public wallets. I was going to tell people what wallets it was in, so people could. I was going to tell people exactly what I said. I'm going in and out, and I want it all tracked. So you've said to me, like, they kind of went back. Like, I thought I was going to be able to inject capital back in, and then it didn't happen.
Well, yeah, two things happen, if I'm super honest. One is there was a third party journalist in the room just for my own safety, because I thought something like this in a worst case scenario could happen, that documented the whole thing. So that'll be posted at some point, probably like later today or this week. But I was instructed, hey, don't inject any back in until Malay's second video. So Malay's second video never comes. Then he deletes the tweet. Then he says he doesn't support the project, which, by the way, I don't, like, again, just want to be super clear. I don't think Malay even fully knows what's going on.
So it cuts off there, but I don't think Malay really knows what's going on. And credit to Dave for the hard hitting journalism, for real though, because I think what he was doing was like, I wanted this to be X, Y, and Z. And I think from Hayden's perspective, in my opinion, like somebody like that, who's got the hands on behind the scenes setting all this stuff up, is just like, oh yeah, 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 whatever you want, Dave. Yeah, 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 yeah. You ready? I'm gonna send you the tokens. Like, promote it. I think it's a huge yes man scenario behind the scenes. And there are a couple times there the Hayden guy like didn't know, you know, what to say. He's like, oh, I don't know whose money it is. It's like, yeah, because you're the one holding this giant bag, and Dave's calling you out on it. Like, there's nothing more I think Hayden wants than to sell that $100 million and go buy a new Lambo. But he knows the spotlight's on him now. So he's like, oh, yeah, I don't know. It's Argentina's money. But you're saying it's Argentina's money, but now you're like, I don't understand, like, you know, who in Malay knows what's going on. Then maybe he doesn't know what's going on. It's okay, well, then why are you marketing it as an Argentinian coin? So a lot more questions than answers. And I think it's a good, you know, educational time for the meme coin community, especially for people who are new, because like Brian said, like, hey, we know what we're getting into, but you know, as Dave onboards new people and new people come into the space, you know, there's going to be a lot of learning lessons, and I think this was one of them.
Yeah, I do have a thought on everything, that just to wrap everything up, because so much has happened, right? Everyone's getting fatigued. We can make a TV drama about what happened with Trump, Melania, Portnoy. I forgot about, you know, Central Africa launched the coin not too long ago too, right? They had CAR, they had the coin launch and come up, and then now Argentina. And what I wanted to share with people watching this video is that it wasn't always like this. And personally, we never talk about much meme coins that has founders, because there's, for people investing in meme coins, you don't want founders risk. And we knew there was founders risk with Trump, but the risk reward there is way better. And that's why I didn't get involved with Portnoy, not because he's a bad person, I don't know him, but there's founders risk. And you look at the top meme coins, there's only two with a founder, which is Trump and Melania. That's the top 10. There's no other meme coins with founders. Bonk, Sheep, Doge, you know, fart coins, AI. That's what people love about memes. Like, we were talking about Mudang earlier in the year, right? The happy fat hippo, you know, that's what people like. This is exhausting and tiring and not fun for people in Web3. And maybe people like it in the world of Web2 coming in and seeing it. Maybe they're getting onboarded that way. But it's evolving. Celebrity coins aren't new. They happened in the last cycle in 2021 when everyone and the mother are coming out tokens like Iggy Azalea, who still has hers, by the way. And I never got into those either because I treat those kind of like an NFT project. You know, they should be more, what is it? They should have checks and balances, right? If you're a president of Argentina, how do you not have checks and balances for launching a token for the country, right? It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, that's why personally I stay away from those, and doesn't mean that it's bad in any ways. Definitely, like you said, Tivo, just get in and out, right? Those are good coins to be fun and talk about, make memes out of, you know. But in terms of, you know, actual meme coins that there's actually, you know, strong communities behind, believe it or not, that actually make memes out of it on a daily basis, and they're actually doing things in the world of DeFi, there's a lot out there. But that's why I kind of see these as projects. You know, they're not going to pump as hard. Maybe 2-3x, but they have to have like what we talked about earlier, utility. Does it tie back into Barstool? And people don't like that in the world of memes. They just want something to go to the moon immediately, steadily, or something that they could wear meme outfits or cool t-shirts and attend events into. And that's kind of my point of view. You know, the more of these that come out in terms of founder type of meme tokens with faces behind it, the less hopefully that people will, you know, dive straight in and treat it like, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, Doge is like the North Star for meme coins, but, you know, it's going to be a lot different trying to put bets into meme coins with founders versus meme coins that just kind of organically grow.
We saw this a little bit, Joe, and I was just thinking about with Pepe, and I'm not sure if Pauly, remember Pauly on like crypto Twitter? I'm not sure if he was like the owner, but he was like the face of it for so long. He actually made me sell my Pepe bag, which would have been worth an astronomical amount of money right now. But early on, Pepe was pumping and he wouldn't shut up about it. And he was a very controversial figure. And he actually made me sell out of it because I was like, I don't like this. And once he kind of got out of it, started to get picked up by centralized exchanges, became more organic, became more decentralized. And now it's one of the top meme coins in the entire world. And we kind of needed him to get flushed out. Man, the jail stool thing still gets me a little bit. And I hate to keep going back to it because I just saw a path here for it to be successful. At least I thought I did with Dave, and just how polarizing of an individual he is for like onboarding people in the Kraken partnership. I was like, this guy could do something with the marketing. And I'm not sure if this story's over. I'm really not. Like, I'm still tuning in to what Dave's doing, because he could make something happen. But right now, my personal jail stool bags are down bad.
Here's a good comparison, right? Like, Portnoy is very famous in Web 2, but like CZ, right? He's not even a CEO of Binance anymore. But he retweeted a token that was a test token on Binance. They're like, oh, we're testing a meme coin launch. And this token literally caught test, TST, went from $20 million to $500 million. That's the difference between someone native to Web3, or like Brian Armstrong from Coinbase, if they said something, versus Portnoy. Portnoy has a lot of pull, but he's not like Trump, right? Trump is like, he's like the megaphone and like Elon. So that's kind of like the outsider looking in, and it's just kind of a comparison of kind of how the trenches move. They put their bags behind someone, and then, you know, they rally to the top, and then they get out. You know, it's all fun and games. But just know that it's a game. Just know it's a game, because CZ doesn't maintain that token. He just pumps it and people get out eventually anyways.
Yeah, CZ maybe need a little vacation after some prison time with the family. I think both made great points. I trust Dave more than I trust Hayden and Libra token. Like, there's no, the Argentinian government was not involved in that. Like, I think you maybe best case scenario had some cousins or sisters or people close to Malay that were like, yeah, I can get his phone and retweet it, you know, or you know, get him to retweet something. But I don't think there was anything official tied in with the Argentinian government at all with Libra, but that's my take on it. And then, yeah, with Dave, I think, you know, the guy likes to build stuff. So I think it's more of an interesting flyer to take than Libra. But let's wrap this up with some, you know, zoom out, bigger picture. We talked about it, or I talked about it with Brendan, about how Solana, you know, took a haircut too, basically all the turmoil and a little bit of general market direction. But, you know, the thought was maybe all this turmoil on the Solana meme coin chain, you know, took Solana down a little bit as well. So what basically the question to wrap it up is, what's our medium long-term vision here? I think we kind of talked about it where, you know, got a little crazy, we're taking a step back, but you know, you like the entry points on a lot of the, you know, other projects that you liked before, nothing changed. So, you know, you're diving into that. So what's your view, you know, heading out into the future after another kind of meme coin mania dies down a little bit?
Yeah, I can start. I think we chop for a little bit. I think we chop. I mean, we have some Solana unlocks that are probably priced in slightly. A lot of people have been talking about it coming up in the next, I think in March. So there's going to be a lot of tokens that hit the market. But overall, I'm still bullish on Solana. It's not just the casino like we talk about. They're great with DeFi. They're great in DPIN. They're doing a lot of great things. There's a lot of people building on Solana. So even though we have some unlocks coming up, even though this Libra token drained a ton of liquidity and put some bad taste in people's mouth, I think it's a nice reset. I do think we chop for a little bit, just in all macros. But again, just like everything, Bitcoin can pull the entire market up better than anything. You know, we start getting rumblings more of a strategic reserve and we start touching base to $100,000. I don't think Solana is going to be trading at $160 per coin. If that's happening, people are going to start getting into it. But right now, there's definitely some short-term pain, and no pun intended, because there's a pain pre-sale that just launched yesterday that we gave a call out to our private community, and people did great on that. And the pain people know how to launch a meme coin. Shout out Pain and that Swedish, I can't even remember his name, that Swedish actor.
Harold,
that's right, and the meme coin team, because they refunded 80% of everyone's Solana, gave the equivalent amount in their pain token back, and people did well, like a 2-3x, and it's still chugging along, and I don't think that story's done either. So there's definitely a path here for some certain coins to still continue to do well, and I'm bullish in this AI space. I think that's a place I've been living over the past couple of months. I think a lot of rotation's gonna go into AI, using AI agents to do transactions and decentralized finance and just making crypto easier. We're hearing about that every day. We got the virtuals team meeting with Elon Musk and X. We got Elon talking about using agents for gaming on Twitter. I mean, that narrative isn't going anywhere. I only believe that's going to grow. And that's really closely related to like a lot of the meme coin traders out there. And I think there's going to be some meme coins that do really well. But we're going to see some short-term pain, you know. But all we need is like one positive catalyst, like another pain token, to start getting the markets alive. And that's kind of my thought. We're going to chop for a little bit. I don't think we're going to bleed much more. And I really believe I bought a lot of tokens last night, or really this morning, I should say. I bought a lot of tokens this morning of just projects that I like. And I'm like, they've seen like 70% corrections. I'm getting dollar cost average into it because I see a path for it going up.
Yeah. I'm along the same rails as Brian. Definitely, people are scared off because of the tariffs and inflation not steadying, and that's kind of buckling down Bitcoin right now. And if Bitcoin pops off and the Solana ETF pops off, then the Solana bags will definitely move. So Solana's ecosystem, it's a casino, of course, but I always tell Brian, it's like the Las Vegas back in the 50s when it was ran by mafia members. Like, we needed to evolve. So I'm not afraid about Solana at all. I don't think I think the unlock's priced in is near like 90% circling supply anyways. So Solana is going to be fine. I'm not worried about that. In terms of overall market, this is great because, I mean, like, we always need a cleansing, right? There's so much nefarious things happening, and, you know, they're not with good purpose. And we document it here, well, in Crypto 101 and with us Crypto Mavericks, you know, being around as long as we have. We've seen these movements. We've all been there with the ICO days of 2017, right? Everyone and a mother launched a token, talking about innovation. 2021 NFT stole the limelight. If you didn't have an NFT, you're an idiot. 2024, 2025 rolls around. Meme coins are the talk of the town. Everyone launches a meme coin and their mother. If you don't have a meme coin, you're not relevant. We're seeing that play out right now. All those bubbles have burst, right? Everyone's got fatigued and tired, and that's where we are in the market. Everyone's fatigued. Everyone's tired. There's too many tokens out there, and this reset is much needed. We're chopping for a while, but I am very confident in what Brian just said. AI agents is going to steal the limelight, just like you didn't have an ICO, an NFT, or a meme coin back then. If your project, if Barstool does not have an AI agent as a mascot, as a glorified chat box or whatever, or as a just a resource, you're going to feel that same way. Like Coinbase already launched one that's moving transactions with wallets and funds. It's crazy. NBA All-Star Weekend came out. There's a basketball analytics AI agent that's helping people with one sports betting or ESPN analytics, like Malik Andrews talking to, you know, All-Star. So so that's what's going to happen in the next move. And you can capitalize on that. These AI agents have tokens alongside with it. So that's going to be, I believe, if I had to put a big bet on, and we have a lot of AI talk within our private community of AI agents. That's going to be the next big mover for sure, because that's where the innovation's happening. And that's kind of why we got in here in the first place. We all forgot, you know, we're like, we're here for the tech, you know, but we stayed for the memes and pumping our bags. But in terms of following the puck, that's where the puck's probably going to go.
Yeah. And Joe, and a lot of those AI tokens, I can't say all of them, but a lot of them are fair launches. You know, yeah. They feel like fair launches compared to some of these like bundled meme coins that are just getting launched from countries and things. And there is a working product there. I'm not even sure if I want some of these projects to come out with working projects, because the hype sometimes really builds up that value. But we're seeing some really cool stuff and really cool innovation in the AI world. And I'm right with you there. I think that's a space where a lot of people need to start paying attention. I think that's just, and it's a lot of fun. It has a lot of the same mechanics of meme coins with communities and what they're trying to solve. And I like kind of the fair launch style as well.
Yeah, it's going to solve a lot of issues that we're facing in terms of token launching. Some of these KOLs is going to help solve people getting in safely out of these tokens and getting out. So it's going to solve a lot of issues.
Awesome stuff, fellas. And I think the cherry on top of everything you said of looking forward is Trump was at a conference yesterday in Miami, and it was hosted by the Saudis. And you know, everything was on the docket, from investing in America to real estate and Bitcoin. And I believe Michael Saylor was there, and Trump gave his speech and, you know, gave the same rhetoric that he did on the campaign trail of, you know, America's going to be the crypto capital of the world, touted the Bitcoin all time highs. And so I think if anything, it's just, you know, continued positivity to see that, you know, he wasn't just saying this to get elected. It's still on the forefront of his mind. You know, we've got everything. Howard Lutnick got confirmed. We got David Sachs as the crypto czar. So, yeah, the momentum's there for consolidation and moving forward, and couldn't agree more that that we'll be moving forward in a positive direction eventually. But thank you guys for joining. Guys, Brian and Joe, they always join us when there's stuff going on in the meme coin world that we need to know. You can check them out. I've got a link below if you want to keep up with their private community. I got a link below. You can sign up and get their emails. And also we'll link over to their podcast, The Crypto Mavericks, where they're interviewing a lot of these in the trenches type of companies. And, you know, along with Brendan, Bryce, our whole team, including Brian and Joe, we appreciate you guys listening. Stay on the forefront of crypto. Thank you guys for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.